Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. Coming up in the noon hour, a lot to get to. Lunchtime Falcons report coming up at 12:20. Had a chance to chat with Caleb McGarry yesterday up at Flowery Branch. We'll let you hear some of what the Falcons right tackle had to say. We got three damn good Georgia questions every single day at 12:40, so we'll get to that coming up as well. But as we always do to kick off the noon hour, the Braxton Big Clip of the Day, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury auto repair, the most important audio in the world.
I didn't have a phenomenal game, but I think I had a decent game, more positive than negative. I feel more confident going into this week. I feel more like I belong, I can really do this.
Caleb McGarry saying, you know, some of what he took out of his performance on Sunday, Randy, and that's good. I mean, first time ever getting out there on an NFL football field and playing in a regular season game, it's good that he feels more confident afterwards. I'm sure there's been plenty of guys that have played in their first game and felt a lot less confident afterwards.
I'm glad that he still has that spirit that we were the first one to get a chance to interview him on our show up there in training camp. Yes, felt that that young eagerness to get out there and the all shucks type mentality that he has. But I mean, the one thing you didn't get to see, and Dan mentioned it in one of his pressers, was that you didn't get to see that physicality that you wanted to see in the ring, because he didn't get a lot of opportunities to do it. But yeah, that's what I'm waiting to see. I'm waiting to see him put them paws on somebody and watch him move people against their will.
Yeah, that's what Arch told us yesterday when we had him
It must have been Arch. Yeah, I'm sorry, it was Arch.
Yeah, he assessed McGarry's performance and said, yeah, I thought he looked good doing this, looked pretty good doing that. He's got to get better at this and that. But you're right. The one thing we didn't, because the Falcons just didn't run the ball very much, because they're down 21-0 as you blinked your eye, they didn't get to run the ball that much. So Caleb McGarry didn't get to get out in the open field and just maul guys.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to a couple of the different reporters in the locker room yesterday about, you know, the performance of the offensive line and just kind of Caleb McGarry and when he's going to take over full time
right. And
not have to rotate anymore. And one of the consensus was, and you and I said this when we saw him at training camp, like, every offensive lineman is big. Like, you got to be big to be an offensive lineman in the NFL.
Yes.
And most offensive linemen look even bigger when they have their pads on and all of that.
Right.
McGarry, even without his pads on, just walking around in a cut-off t-shirt, just a massive human being.
He's a big
man. Just a hulk of a human. So hopefully that translates into being a great blocker and all of that. But that's what we talk about when we see him run block. You get out there and use that size and that strength. And he's got a little bit of speed, too, for a
he
guy
can move.
His size.
He can move. He can move. But the one thing I love about him, he's a finisher, man. He tries to finish every single block. He definitely does, as that cliche say, block to the end of the whistle or whatever that is.
I don't know.
Whatever it is. But, I mean, he does.
I never blocked anybody before.
Hell yeah, I forgot.
You have?
Yeah, I have. A lot of times. Too many times.
End of the whistle or what?
To echo the whistle.
Oh, the echo of the whistle.
The echo of the whistle.
That, yeah. Now, that's a good cliche. Yeah. I like that. That's good stuff. Caleb McGarry said he's not a marathon runner yet, but he hopes to be. A 300-plus pound marathon runner by the end of whenever he needs to get in the shape that he needs to be in, which would be good. That'd be great. I don't know that I actually want him to run any marathons.
No, not at all.
26.2 miles with 300 and whatever, 30 pounds
on
those
knees.
That couldn't
be fun at all.
That's not going to be good for you.
That couldn't be fun at all.
Just 60 minutes. That's all. And you said it's not actually 60 minutes because you're only on the field for half the game.
Right.
So whatever it is, let's hope the Falcons win the time of possession on Sunday.
Let's hope they're on the field 35 minutes.
Give him 33 minutes on Sunday. Give us 33 minutes, Caleb. I know that they're still going to be rotating. We'll let you hear more of what Caleb McGarry had to say coming up in about 20 minutes in our lunchtime Falcons report.
Man, yeah, you always want to start it off good in front of your home team. You know, that's your home spot, so you got to go out and you got to go out with a bang. Every game, to me, is typically the same, but when you're on home turf and it's our first time to get our good showing, we got to go play hard.
Would that be a key? I know we'll get to our keys to a Falcons victory coming up tomorrow when we look ahead to the Sunday night game against the Eagles. We're kind of talking through the game still anyway, though. Getting out to a good start?
Yes. I mean, that's vital in any game, and it really is, because you saw what getting out to a bad start looks like last weekend in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I mean, and even if, you know, and that start for the Falcons was extra, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a middle bust the first play of the game. Like you said, no gain, match flush, And then you get the damn block. You get the punt blocked after that?
It was a disaster.
That was a disaster. That's not a bad start. That is a disastrous start right there. And it's so hard when you get in those situations to come to overcome them. But, yeah, you want to get out fast. Now, again, if you don't get any points out of it, but yet you find a rhythm and you move the ball a little bit, okay, fine, we can build off that. But you get out there and you're going three and out, three and out, three and out. Bruh, we know that you can move the ball against this team. Y'all just can't score against this team. That's the most important thing. When you get down there in the scoring zone, how do you get the ball across the goal line? All right, maybe we see Matt Bryant this week and maybe we don't. I'm still curious why he went for two, but, hey, that ain't none of my business.
Because they're down by a million. That's why they went for two.
Yeah, they ain't none of my business. But I'm just saying this.
But, but hang on, though.
What?
Hang on.
What?
Casual conspiracy theory guy.
Why am I a conspiracy guy?
You just mentioned not using Matt Bryant.
Yeah.
And kind of hinted at the possibility of not using Matt Bryant for a reason other than just wanted to score a whole bunch of points.
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, right now, I'm all, like, I got my own to Philly mode right now. I'm on the Philly, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. That's fine. We'll get back into that tomorrow. I imagine we'll see Matt Bryant at some point this weekend.
He'll be in the game.
Hopefully.
He'll be in the game.
I saw him yesterday in the locker room.
Yeah, he'll be in the game.
He was walking around.
He'll be in the game.
Is he going to kick a field goal or an extra point?
Then they bring him back to do that?
Yes.
Okay, then.
If you score a touchdown early, you don't go for two then.
Right.
You're not the Oregon Ducks back in 2009 with Chip Kelly. You don't just go for two all the time.
Or the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Or the Pittsburgh Steelers now.
Yeah.
You kick the extra point. If the Falcons score a touchdown on their first drive, Matt Bryant kicks the extra point, right? Yes or no?
I thought that's what they paid him to do.
Randy.
They brought him back, right?
Yes or no?
Okay, I'm just curious. That's what they brought him back
that
for.
It's elusive. You're doing a very good job.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's almost like a boogie dance in and of itself right there.
I mean, they brought him back for a reason.
Right. Yeah. What else did I want to say? I don't remember. Let's move to the next clip.
Yeah, I mean, we got a really, really good team, and it's kind of filled with guys who work and try to hone their craft. So it's just a joy to be around, and a lot of the younger guys get it too. So, I mean, you got Freddie Franchise who's leading the charge. So, I mean, that just says
Freddie Franchise.
I mean,
happy birthday,
MVP machine.
Doggett, we forgot.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, happy birthday, Freddie Franchise.
That's the most surprising Braves number that I saw today.
Yeah.
The Freddy's fact that 30 Freddie years Freeman's old. Only 30.
Only 30. I saw that, too. I was like, dang, like, Freddie's only that old?
Doesn't it feel like he should be at least 36?
I mean, that's what happens when you're wasting away your talent, and then all of a sudden they find a way to get talent around you.
Now, you're right. Those 4 years did feel like they took 10.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why it feels like Freddie Freeman's older. But he bridges the gap, though. Like, Freddie was at the tail end of all those really good teams in the early teens. And then he kind of was in that void of Braves nothingness for the last handful of years. And now here he is still in his, like, right in the middle of his prime.
I mean, he rolled right.
Like, what's your football prime? Like, 24 to 25?
26 to 31, somewhere in that area.
If you can hang on that.
If you're
a good player.
If you're a good player, yeah.
In baseball, your prime's what, like 28 to 34?
I think that's what somebody said, yeah.
Probably?
Yeah.
So Freddie's still, I mean, technically in the early part of his prime.
Yeah, he is. Don't like he's slowing down either.
It's shocking to me that he's 30 years old. That's fantastic.
I thought Freddie was a lot older than that, too.
I remembered what I was going to say about the Falcons. We'll bring that back in 15 minutes when we get to our Falcons segment. Two surprising Falcons numbers for you over there, okay? And neither one of them are related to somebody's birthday. Now, that was Dallas Keuchel talking about having a good team. He said Freddie Franchise and all of that. Dallas Keuchel was the reason that the Braves won the game last night. Dallas Keuchel was fantastic.
He was.
And the bullpen.
He was. He's very good. And the thing about it is, ever since that time, he got shellacked. And I do mean shellacked earlier. I think it was against Miami. The Marlins that beat him down, and he was able to bounce back from that. And he's been that steady veteran presence that they were looking for when they brought him in. And now he's a guy, and it's well documented, because I know I've said it, he's not going to overpower you with none of his pitches or anything. But what he's going to do is he's going to go out there and pitch. He's going to paint corners. He's going to get the ground balls. And if he can keep the ball, from sitting up in that zone where it just gets rocketed over the chop house, they're going
to
be fine.
Dallas Keuchel, to me, and this probably I think had already been in Brian Snitker's mind, but I think it just gets easier to make this decision every time he goes out there. I think Dallas Keuchel's the game one starter.
Okay.
You get to the playoffs, I think If I'm making that decision, right. Dallas Keuchel's my game one.
And we talked about this yesterday.
We did.
And you kept – we just weren't sure. And now today – because it's easy to say now because you just saw him pitch. And now that probably solidifies it for you.
To be fair, though, I mean, we were talking about Dallas Keuchel as the game one starter for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Who's
it's
going today?
It's not like we just saw – you know who's going today.
Okay. Oh, all right.
You got to wait till one?
Yeah, I'm waiting till one.
Okay.
All right.
Wait till one.
Yeah.
Give the Julio reverse jinx and make sure he has a nice outing tonight and help shrink that Braves magic number even smaller. But no, let me ask it to you like this about Keuchel and the other four guys. When Dallas Keuchel is on the mound, how do you feel?
I'm pretty confident when he's on there.
Confident?
Yeah.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
Relaxed?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about when Julio Teheran's on the mound? How do you feel then?
It just depends.
Depends on the day?
Yeah.
Depends on if your reverse jinx is working?
Exactly.
Yeah. It depends isn't like a great first answer confidence-wise when it comes to a starting pitcher. What about when Max Fried's on the mound? How do you feel about that?
Worried.
Worried?
Yeah.
How come?
I mean, as good as he was the start before last – no, last start, it's still like and Max Fried with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's still and Max Fried with me.
How about when Mike Soroka's on the mound? How does that make you feel?
A lot more worried.
Worried?
Yes, because it's – his ERA has been up now again. I trust Mike Soroka if they're going to pitch him, but you're not as confident. How about I say that? Not as confident.
Yeah. So your answer right now to all these questions makes it sound like Dallas Keuchel should be the game one starter.
Yeah.
What about Folty? How does that make you feel?
Just don't be no
red.
Yeah. Just don't be no. And then again, what's the weather like? What's the weather gonna be like when he pitches?
Don't let it be too hot.
Please don't let it be too hot. And I know that we're supposed to say, you know, it's not. It's gonna be a while before if he does pitch. It's going to be a while. But it's hot right now. It don't look like it's going to cool off no time soon.
Yeah, it's actually, this just as an aside, a weather comment about this week in Atlanta. Chill out, Atlanta. What's going on?
What the hell wrong with you?
It's mid-September. It doesn't have to be 97 degrees.
I saw that, Brian. Brian was telling my ear. I heard they're canceling practices at high schools and stuff.
It's too hot. It's 97 degrees outside. It's September 12th.
I remember that, man. I just don't remember a lot of stuff in high school football. Like water breaks and all. They got. What's that? Oh, water break. Really? I mean, yeah.
Right.
You drink as you go.
Right.
Yeah. But now they got a cool down period and everything.
You don't want anybody to dehydrate or anything like that.
We never dehydrate.
Some people used to.
We never fall.
You
out.
Didn't. I know.
We never fall.
Well,
out.
You've heard stories about stuff like that happening, right?
Yeah.
Didn't that Maryland coach get fired because of that?
Talking about the one that was at practice.
Yeah, the poor kid.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That was awful.
Yeah, DJ Durkin. That's
that was,
right.
That
he
was
got,
awful.
He got fired because of that. Speaking of how you feel about things, here's how Brian Snitker felt about the bullpen last night.
You know, and they had to work through the eighth and ninth too. I mean, those are tough innings also. But those guys, you know, again, they never give in. And we got the game to the, you know, where we wanted it. I mean, Dallas is good. He fought his way through six innings, and we were in good shape after that.
Yeah, they were. Dallas Keuchel put them in a good position, gave up one run, got to the bullpen, and then your three guys, your three-headed bullpen monster, which you did not have about a month and a half ago, now goes out there and does what they're supposed to do. You had Chris Martin go out there and do it. You had Shane Green go out there and do what he does. And then you had Melanson close. Chris Martin had an immaculate inning last night,
was
Randy.
Was awesome.
No, like literally, it was immaculate.
Yeah, I know. Nine strikes.
Yeah.
And everybody out.
Everybody's
I mean,
out.
He was,
all three
he
strikeouts.
He's special, man. And he's been special since, I don't know what he did. I don't know who had what said. I don't know if his lady. Well, he's not married. Winnie Toto's not married.
Who? Shane Green?
Shane Green, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's. Went there.
Yeah, okay.
They're dating.
Yeah, and I don't know what was going
Wendy
on with
and
that.
Shane Green are an item.
But what happened was, hey, whatever happened, these guys have been worth. They've been worth their money. Now, whoo, that first week though, Andy, you remember I was like,
yeah, it was rough.
It was rough.
It was really rough.
It was. But these guys have settled in. They settled down into these roles, and it seems like these are going to be the roles going forward. Especially when you get toward the playoff position, hoping that your starters can go give you at least six. At least.
At least six.
At least.
Need six in the playoffs.
Yeah, at least.
And if Keuchel can go seven, great. Max Fried go eight, whatever. Yes, that would be fantastic. The deeper you go into the bullpen, the better you feel. But I feel good about these three guys coming out of the bullpen right now. And last night was an Alex Anthopoulos special. Like, all four of the pitchers that pitched last night were not on the team, like, halfway through the season. Well, I guess Keuchel was on a little earlier than that, but the first couple months of the season, you didn't have these guys.
Right.
And we were worried, what's the starting rotation look like?
Yeah,
what's the bullpen look like?
77, your dude, Josh Tomlin.
You know 77, by the way? Your guy, 77, is the only bullpen pitcher that was on the opening day roster that's still on the team.
Luke Jackson.
Yeah, Luke Jackson.
Yeah, I can believe that.
All the other guys are all sorts of elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, No, AJ's here. Isn't AJ?
Well, he's been back and then back.
Yeah,
he's
the
only guy that stayed on the big league roster all year.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's that because that's Nick's boy.
Well, he's your boy too.
No, he's not.
He's pretty good.
No. He ain't never been good. I deal with winners. Yeah, I deal with.
You
winners.
Know what his record is?
I deal with winners.
It's like 8-2. That's a winning record.
That's not on purpose though.
Yeah, that's true. There's been a lot of luck involved in that.
Yeah, it's not on purpose.
No one's smart. No one listens. So when you give no one a plan and say, this is the way I want you to rush on this defense, or this is the way I want you to rush on this particular tackle, he does it. He applies what he learns. And he plays with just maximum effort.
Now, I want to talk about Nolan Smith anyway, but I love that Kirby Smart's opinion of what smart is willing to listen to me.
Basically.
Yeah. He listens to me, so he's smart.
Yeah.
Now, that's what Kirby should think.
And that's what you should do.
And you
listen to what your coach says.
Kirby knows what he's doing.
And Nolan went behind the ears.
Smart, defensive
Nolan went behind the ears. He don't know no better.
Yeah.
So I just go out there and play my hair on fire.
But not everybody does that, though. Yeah. Some people who are wet behind the ears don't listen so good.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that Nolan does.
Yeah, I think they know everything. I've been here. You haven't. Hey, Atlanta Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcons game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas and Paul Crane will preview the Falcons' upcoming matchup. Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Bud Light Brewed for the Dirty Bird.
You know Nolan Smith plays with no gloves on?
Yeah, he'd be out there raw dogging.
I like.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be out there raw dogging.
Three damn good Georgia questions coming your way at 12:40.
What? That's what we call wearing no gloves.
I know.
Okay.
What's wrong?
How y'all looking at me like I was crazy?
Who was looking at you like what? Everything's fine. We'll come back and get the our lunchtime Falcons report, including two Falcons numbers that surprised me. I'll tell you what they are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But you're right. Touchdowns are the key this weekend.
It's a pretty boring answer.
Thank you, Caleb. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. NFL game day, by the way. You can hear the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Carolina Panthers right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game tonight. Pre-game at 8 o'clock, kickoff at 8:20. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get to three damn good Georgia questions, as we're going to do every single day at 12:40. Right now, time for lunchtime with the Falcons. And we were out at Flowery Branch yesterday, got a chance to catch up with a number of different guys. Matt Ryan spoke yesterday, and we've used some of that audio throughout the show, Dan Quinn as well. But I got to chat with Caleb McGarry. Caleb is he's a guy that you and I both enjoy.
Yeah, fun guy.
He's a chatty.
He is that, dude.
He's chatty.
He is. If you think about where you explained where he came from, everything, think he'd be a little bit more shy, reserved. Not him.
Yeah.
No, he lets it all go.
He'll tell you pretty much exactly how he feels and when he's feeling it, which is great, which is why I wanted to ask him just a pretty basic question about Sunday and if anything surprised him when he was out on the field for the first time in an NFL game.
You know, I guess my own ability to hang, really, my own ability to play with, you know, these really, truly elite-level players. And, you know, not that I necessarily thought I'd get my butt kicked the whole time, but, you know, as rookie coming in, never having played against like starters before, you're nervous. I was pretty nervous, and you know, I did okay, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, I like that. I like his assessment of the way that he played. Not great. Surprised himself a little bit getting out there for the first time. Brian Gebhardt asks an interesting question,
and it's true
because Caleb McGarry does emphasize strange words in his sentences.
But
butt kicked. Boring question. Maybe it's words that start with B that he decides to emphasize. I'm not really
boring
sure.
Boring answer.
Yeah.
It could be. According to our guy Joe Patrick, he's up there. Says Dan Quinn said that Chris Lindstrom his surgery went well. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. And I asked McGarry about that yesterday, too. And he said, yeah, you know, I talked to him, wish him well, of course. It sucks not being able to play next to the guy for the next handful of weeks that I was drafted next to and supposed to play next to. But Jamon Brown going to be in there. And
Jamon Brown got purple hair.
He does.
Yeah.
Well, some of it is purple.
Yeah,
he's got dreadlocks. Some of them are purple. Some of them are natural.
The purple character from the Avengers, what's his name?
I don't know.
The dude that was kicking butt.
I'm not sure. Okay. I know Thanos.
Thanos, that's him, yeah.
Oh, that's Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Thanos.
There you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was going to say Grimace was purple from McDonald's back in the day. Barney the Dinosaur was also purple.
He was.
But that really is neither here nor there. Jamon Brown is going to play right guard this week. He's going to be the starting right guard next to Caleb McGarry. Caleb's going to continue to rotate for the time being because, as he told me here, his conditioning isn't quite yet where he wants it.
I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting there. I'm not going to say that I'm a marathon runner yet, but, you know, hopefully by the end of this, I'll be a 300-and-whatever-pound marathon runner, so.
Don't need you to run marathons, though, Caleb. Just what? What do we ask for? 34 minutes of possession?
That's it.
Just have the ball for 34 minutes, win the possession game this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, because that would mean a couple of different things, wouldn't it, Randy?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes those simplified numbers speak to a lot of big-picture stuff. The Falcons winning the possession battle on Sunday night would mean the Falcons ran the football.
Yes.
Which would mean that the offensive line played better. Which would mean that they demonstrated to us that they can actually do it physically, which was a question we started the show with. What would be more frustrating? Going into a game and not being prepared to play, which some people think the Falcons weren't against the Vikings, or going into a game being prepared and simply not physically being able to do it?
The physically not being able to do it because, like, I mean, I wish people could – You can go through a week of preparation for an NFL game. And, I mean, how it starts and just the in-depth and everything that you do throughout that week leading up to Sunday. Yeah, you're prepared. I promise you. You don't go into a point where you don't know what you're doing. And that's how I look at as being prepared, because you really don't know what they're going to call. But you do know what you're doing and what you're going to do. And that's how the preparation starts. Now, when you watch a film, you look for tendencies and all that. But you don't know if they're going to line up in that today. You know what I'm saying? We practice a look all week to a certain defense with a look card. And we get up there and we got this play in, and it's a completely different look. You can't prepare for that. All right. That's just gamesmanship that goes between, you know, offense, defense, and everything like that. So being prepared, I'm sure they went up there knowing what they were doing. And the things that some of the brain farts that happen, they happen throughout games. People make mistakes. Some people have mental errors. You don't want them. You hate to have them, especially when it's your offensive lining and your quarterback getting hit. But as far as just initial game plan, you can be ready for that and still just get physically whipped like they did.
Exactly. And that's the issue. And that's what I worry about being something that's difficult to fix once the season begins. Because, again, I'm with you. I don't think it was a preparation thing. I think they were prepared. I think they were ready to go up there and know what they wanted to do. They just got off to a bad start. Brain farts are something that happen, too. Like, those are – you don't want them to happen. Mm-hmm. But you see stuff like, oh, man, Austin Hooper – didn't do what he was supposed to do to help out Caleb McGarry.
Right.
Dang it. That happens every once in a while. Oh, Jake Matthews didn't fan out the way that he was supposed to. Dang it. That happens every once in a while. What I'm worried about is stuff like when Wes Schweitzer's in the game and he's getting just beasted. Like, that's not a brain fart. That's inability to do something.
Well, he can't help it.
He can't.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. If you can't help it, that's a different problem. And who I'm pointing at when I'm wondering about whether or not they can help it is those guys that are on the edge on defense, Tack and Vic. Because as we know, there's a big emphasis on them this season because they're the generators of the Falcons' pass rush. We understand how important pass rush is for defenses in the NFL. Dan Quinn has changed what they're doing up front to try to put those guys in a better position to get to the quarterback. And, well, it didn't for a couple different reasons, I think, on Sunday. Number one is they couldn't stop the run, so the Vikings didn't throw the ball.
You only had now, you had 10 rushes.
Statistically,
yeah.
The Falcons were top six in the NFL from week one in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback in the entire league.
Yeah.
Because they got to the quarterback and put pressure on him, I think, 36% of the time.
Yeah.
Well, okay, they only dropped back 10 times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what does that really mean? You know what I mean? Or maybe they drop back 11 times. What does that really mean?
You got 11 rushes.
Right. And so you got back in the backfield four times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is good.
It is good.
It's good.
It is good. Now, can you do 36% pressure rate if they drop back 40 times? Because the Eagles are going to drop. Carson Wentz threw 39 passes.
They're going to throw the
Sunday.
Ball. They're going to throw the football. Now, note they were behind, but they're going to throw the football. I mean, Coach Peterson, I'm sorry, he is a part of that Andy Reid tree. Yeah, they'll run it. They want to throw the ball. They want to sling it all over the yard, and that's what they're going to do. Carson's going to have at least 30 attempts, at least 30 attempts. So that gives you a chance to get that rush going. But my thing is when you go into you're talking about playing first and second down defense, and that's an old school term because everything changes up nowadays when you go nickel and all that stuff more than you ever have. But if you're talking about trying to stop the run, you might need to leave those guys out. And somebody made a great point on on my Twitter. He was saying that, you know, maybe you go to an under front. You go to the four down lineman. You put Bailey, you put Claiborne as the ends, and then you put Devondre up there. Or you can put Tack up there as an outside linebacker and do it like that to try to stop the run. You got to stop the run. And if you're sitting in the Bear defense, which they're playing for the 46 or whatever, you know, it's more of a penetrating, you know, type defense. But it's hard to hold up in the run game if you don't got a lot, if you don't got a lot of rump on you. It's hard to hold up.
And look, I don't care what defensive front they use.
It's an aggressive front.
It doesn't make it aggressive. Yeah, okay, whatever. Run the bear defense. Change to what you just said. Go back to what you were doing last. I don't care.
Right.
Whatever works.
I'm with you.
If you have to have different ends on the field on first and second down and only bring Tack and Vic in there in pass rush situations, okay.
Seriously.
Whatever works. Now, that would be an admission of failure. Very quick. Yes, it would. Because
okay,
they came into the season trying
this,
to.
Tell me this, though. If it's effective and they get pressure and get the quarterback, would you say it's still a failure?
Who?
Tack and Vic.
Well, if they do that, then no.
Okay,
then,
I'm thinking you're saying that they're not on the field.
No, they're not starting. No. Whatever works, I'm for. I'm just saying if after a week and a half or at halftime of this, whatever, if they have to go from we were going to play 3-4 and bring Tack and Vic down on the edges and have them be stand-up linebackers, and a game and a half into it, you're like, that's not going to work.
Right.
Then you're admitting that your hope going into the season, it failed. Right, and again, that's okay. Like I like if it's not going to work, fix it fast.
Like,
don't wait till week six and don't have any sacks. Like, do something different that's going to get this thing taken care of.
Right.
I just found it interesting that was Dan Quinn's solution to trying to get those guys into the backfield more. And it seems like the Minnesota Vikings picked up on a way to beat that solution very quickly. It's like, okay, if we drop back, they're probably going to be able to get into the backfield.
We're going
to
run right at them.
But we don't have to drop back because those guys can't set the edge. So it might be a good solution to get those guys to the quarterback. But if they're not passing the ball, then it's not a good solution.
Yeah, then you got to go to something else. We got to go to something else. We got to find a way to stop this run. And they did do a better job in the second half of stopping the run. But, I mean, you know, it's a copycat league. Now, I don't anticipate Philly coming in with the same kind of game plan. We're going to run the ball down your throat and let Carson Wentz throw the ball less than 20 times because that's not going to happen. Carson's going to put the ball in the air. I mean, that's just a philosophy that they have up there in Philadelphia when we talk about offensive football. My biggest thing is on the defensive side, on the Falcons offense, is that you got to block Cox. All right? You've got to get two bodies on him.
Fletcher Cox. Yeah.
You've got to find a way.
They need to be Cox blockers.
Yeah, you got to get two bodies on him. All right, because he can – I like Jamon Brown. I like James Carpenter. I love that they have some experience or whatever. They ain't blocking him one-on-one.
Nope.
You better get somebody over there to help them.
Yep.
You got to find a way to do that.
And hopefully they do that. And that brings me to one of the two numbers that surprise me and kind of worry me about Dan Quinn's football teams
now. You know you're about to make everybody upset, right?
Why am I going to do that?
Because that stat you about to read had me like, damn.
In Dan Quinn's 4+ years now as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, that they're -1 turnover margin, and it's all about the ball.
Yeah,
yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah,
when your entire philosophy is based on not turning the ball over and creating turnovers, and you're however many games that is, 50, 60 games into your tenure as the head coach of the team, and you're -1, meaning you've given the ball up one more time than you've taken it away, then you're not really all about the ball, are you?
Read another stat.
Huh?
You got another stat?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
Mike Conti's working on it.
Okay.
I used to have it. It was about the Falcons' ability to come from behind. It hasn't happened very often.
Okay.
In Dan Quinn's tenure, the Falcons really don't come from behind, like, ever.
Ever.
Which is why a fast start is really important on Sunday.
Join 92 down the game this Sunday starting at 4 for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show brought to you by Wade Ford and Jim Beam. Hugh Douglas and my man Andy Bunker. We're broadcasting live off Northside Drive across from the Gold Deck.
Mike Conti, by the way, is going to have that number for us at some point.
Okay.
It's just one of those ones, like, you can't just search it.
Yeah.
You got to go back and filter through stuff. And anyway, Mike Conti's on it, so we know we're going to get the right answer. Coming up next, speaking of answers, we're going to ask 3 damn good Georgia questions, and Randy's going to answer them. Coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For 3 damn good UGA questions with Brian Gephardt.
Wow,
he got his own
name.
He got his own name in the intro.
Wow.
That's fantastic. So just so we're clear, though, today, here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where we will get to what's trending coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour.
Damn, he got his name in.
We've had 3 new intros.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
One of them called you the best tight end in Georgia history.
It stinks.
Oh, and then it kind of jokingly said maybe someone else was better. But obviously, you're the best tight end in Georgia history.
No, yeah.
The other one has 3 damn good Georgia questions with Brian Gephardt, who's now in studio with us.
Who is not the, who Wendy's a better producer than.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without question.
So make sure we put that in
there. We all agree.
And if you guys want to see Brian in his nice red shirt, and his nice slacks. You can go to Watch929 Game.
Watch929TheGame.com. You can see Brian's slacks. But the third new intro we had was me saying something dumb and Caleb McGarry making fun of me, just so we're clear.
Yes.
Those are the new intros that we have?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good.
And we might have a few changes to the College Football Corner one that you might like, Andy.
Oh, no. It's going to change.
Well, we'll take a look.
Me and Steve going to have some issues.
We'll take a look, Randy.
I'm going to intimidate
him. Hey, Steve just read what he was given.
I know. Hey, Steve, read this.
Randy goes in there and bullies the imaging guy. Oh, now that would be good digital content. People would click on that video. That'd be very funny to see.
Knox is putting up a video of the whole college intro and my reaction to it.
Yeah.
So it'll be up on the website in a little
you
bit.
You have, in my opinion, elite facial expression. Like, you are an elite facial expressionist. And I don't know
where you got that from, but I like it.
I don't know how you became that. You've worked very hard on it. Maybe got it from your mom. There you go. That's very good. Anyway.
What you got, Brian?
Hi, Brian.
Randy does have a great death stare. I've seen it probably about 47 times over the last couple of years. The first damn good Georgia question we got today, has Jake Fromm already been removed from the Heisman race? He had pedestrian numbers through the first two games. He's 25 for 34, two touchdowns, 322 yards. So not that volume. Has he already removed himself from the Heisman race?
I don't want to say he removed himself. I think the other guys have removed him. If you look at Justin Fields, he has 458 yards, six touchdowns, 100 yards rushing, three touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, 591 yards, six touchdowns, 223 yards rushing, three touchdowns. Tua has 563 yards, seven touchdowns, and Joe Burrow has 750 yards, nine touchdowns. I just think their numbers are putting not necessarily him falling out because of his play.
Sure, I mean that I agree with all of what you just said, except for I would say that, yeah, he's out of the Heisman conversation.
Yeah, he's out. That's why. But he's not out of it because of his play. Right. He's out of it because of how they're playing.
Sure.
He can't call the plays.
No. I agree with that. He's not played bad.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He hasn't done anything that he wasn't asked to do. We said this after the first game, after they demolished Vanderbilt, and Jake Fromm didn't hardly have to do anything. Jake Fromm's not going to hardly have to do anything in a lot of these football games this year, even SEC football games, in order for Georgia to win. Like, that's just not what this offense is going to need to be. Like, I think he could. Like, if they wanted to do that, and Kirby and James Coley were like, yeah, let's gas up Fromm's numbers and make the offense all about his arm and try to make, you know, a Heisman case for him, they could do it, but they see how the offense functions, and Jake Fromm has to do very minimal as far as throwing the football. So, I mean, he's out of it, and we knew he was going to be out of it probably before the season even started, which is what was interesting about him being one of the favorites odds-wise in Vegas to win the Heisman, is unlikely. The offense was going to have to really change for Jake Fromm to have a chance to do that look. There's still a lot of games left, but we understand those offenses are designed for those guys to have huge numbers. Jake Fromm's never going to have huge numbers like that in this offense.
Does he get back in it if, come the Notre Dame game, he shows up and throws for four or five touchdowns and just has an absolutely monster game, and UGA sitting there as, you know, second or third in the country, and he has that monumental moment?
Here's why you would, because the game is going to be nationally televised, and the eyes of the country will be on him at that game, and if he goes off like that,
Well, and look, like, I think that Jake Fromm's going to play really well in all these big games.
I do, too.
Jake Fromm's going to play well, and they're going to beat Notre Dame. I just have a hard time believing that that's what the game is going to look like. Like, why would Jake Fromm ever throw five touchdowns in a game when the game plan seems to be give the ball to the running backs as much as possible and have Jake Fromm just kind of manage things? And again, I don't consider the term game manager to be a negative one when it comes to quarterbacks. I know people want to use that moniker and use it negatively. I don't think so. I think Jake Fromm is simply doing what he's being asked to do in this offense, and he's doing it at an elite level. Here's the thing. By the end of the year, if Georgia's 12-0 and Jake Fromm continues to be as efficient as he is, he's not going to be a Heisman candidate because those gaudy numbers aren't going to be there, but he's going to have all the respect in the world nationally because people just watch him play. You can tell he's a great quarterback.
Outside of Jake Fromm, who is the most valuable player on this team and why?
So is that question two or
That's
question
two.
Three?
The first one was a combo one question. A, one we B. piggybacked
Okay,
off
so
of
this
it.
Is question two. The second most valuable player on Georgia's team. I'm interested to hear what Randy has to say about this one.
Oh, definitely the offensive defensive line.
No, one player.
You got to give me one name.
I ain't got to give you nothing.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
It says player, not players.
Well, I'm going players.
Man, I wish Ben Watson was here. Andy, your answer?
Ben Watson would have named one guy.
He probably would.
I know that for
sure. He follows directions better than I do.
And he probably would have said Andrew Thomas. But that's not what I'm going to say.
I'm going to say J.R. Reed. J.R. Reed is the second most important player to me.
No, he didn't say most important. Did he say most important? He said most
Who's
valuable.
The most valuable
most
player?
Most valuable.
Okay, valuable. And okay. I'll put it that okay. way, too.
All right.
I think what J.R. Reed does on that
He's
defense.
He's been playing really good.
Yeah.
Like,
he always does. He's just so sound, so smart. He's been in these big moments before. Now he's been in the Georgia secondary for a couple of seasons. And I just think, like, for a defense that is going to have to rely on so many young guys, and by the middle to end of the year, I think a lot of the standouts in the linebacking core and a lot of the standouts at pass rusher are going to be freshmen, like young guys. You got to have a vet back there like J.R. Reed.
He's been playing
I'm
well.
Very happy that he decided not to go to the NFL draft last year and come back for one season. I think he improves his draft stock by doing that this season in the long run anyway, but not... To me, he's the most important player on defense, so I consider him the next most valuable player.
He's been playing really, really well because all you said right there. And again, these guys are young in the back end. You're seeing a lot. And I hate these Arkansas State Murray State game. But without these games, you won't get to see guys like Nolan Smith and these young players. Because sometimes you just need that confidence boost to get out there and say, hey, I can play this college football thing. Even though it is against Murray State, just the confidence and the view of yourself taking the quarterback down – That's contagious, man.
Wait, man, Arkansas State might have some NFL guys on their team.
I didn't say they didn't. One of my partners, Carlos Emmons, went to Arkansas State.
There you go.
My man Cleo Lemon went to Arkansas State.
Yeah. Chris Odom went to Arkansas State, played in the NFL
for a while. Tennessee for a while.
Yeah, I think he played for the Seahawks for a minute.
Yeah.
J.D. McKissick.
There you go.
Kelsey McCray, DeMario Davis. I've got the list in front of me.
My boy, DeMario. Yeah. My homie.
All right, last question for you guys. We've got about 2 minutes. Is James Cook the closest thing to Mecole Hardman that this team has on the roster this year?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes. I think because of how they're trying to use him the last couple games. They're trying, Brian, to find ways to get him the ball in his hands because he's so special with it. I know the kid from my school, Akiris Jackson, he has a messed up finger right now, so he's not going to be that effective. I don't think he's fast as Mecole, but I think he might be a little bit more shiftier than Mecole. Because Mecole just outrun you. I think when you look at James can make you miss and do certain things with the ball.
Well, you're right. And they need a guy like that to play that role in the offense. And you want James Cook to get the football.
Yeah.
You just can't really justify handing him the football.
Exactly.
Because that means you're not handing it to DeAndre Swift. You're not handing it to Zeus. Even Brian Herrien has looked really good. Brian Herrien got the first carry of the entire season against Vanderbilt, which was an unlikely thing that I wouldn't have bet on in Las Vegas. No, but you want the ball in Cook's hands, not a ton, but more than you would if you were just using him as a running back. So, yeah, I'll say he's the closest thing they have to Mecole Hardman, which I like. That's a really, really fun role to get to play. Catch the ball on the outside, let these guys block for you, and see if you can't get around the corner and run to the end zone.
That's it for the questions for today, guys.
We'll
be back tomorrow.
Those were three and a half damn good.
They were better than the ones yesterday, thinking about Jake Fromm getting hurt.
Yeah, that was 2 days ago.
Whatever it was.
Yeah,
I was still hot about that.
Yeah, I wasn't good. I like the open, too, with your name in it. That's nice.
Great job, Brian.
I loved the college football corner open earlier. That was very good as well. We'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. I think Mike Conti's got us that Dan Quinn come-from-behind record number. I guess it's not as bad as we thought, so that's good. We'll get back to all the big news of the day coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.